If we could get a hold of that thought this morning, we could have church and go home, right? God has whatever we need. He's got it. I don't know what you need this morning, but I know a God that can meet it. And I sure praise the Lord for that. You're in Hebrews chapter number 11. I'm going to get right into the message this morning. I do want to say many of you have asked about my mom, and she told me she'd be watching on our Facebook Live this morning. So you've asked how she's doing, and I just want to let you know she's recovering. She had a knee surgery a couple weeks ago, and the knee's doing pretty good, but she got shingles right after she got home. And so she's been going through it physically and even emotionally and mentally, but you pray for her if you would. I appreciate those of you that asked, and she's it's going to get better. That's what I keep telling her. But Hebrews chapter number 11, we're going to read, well, you've had it read to you already this morning in verses 8 through 10. And I'll be honest with you, I want to preach a message this morning out of Hebrews chapter 11 about the life of Abraham. And the title of my message this morning is A Life of Faith. A Life of Faith. Now, I realize as I get into this message, there's no way that I can even begin to touch the hem of the garment of all that could be taught out of the life of this man, Abraham. But when I think of a man that lived a life of faith, one of the first men that come to my mind is Abraham. And if you were here during our Jubilee last week, you would remember that Wednesday and Thursday night, Brother Moore preached on Enoch and how that he walked with God and that he pleased God. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. And he talked about how that a life of faith is pleasing to God. And I don't know about you this morning, but I know as for me, I want to live a life that pleases God. As Brother Moore was preaching that, I was challenged in my heart. You know, I don't want at the end of my life, I don't want to live to please man. Though I hope that my life is pleasing to some men, to some women, to some people that God's put in my life. I hope I live a life that's pleasing to my children, to my wife, to my church family. But at the end of the day, I really hope that my life is summed up by a life that pleases God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 38 says, now the just shall live by faith. God says the just shall live by faith. And he goes on to say, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. God says, I'm not pleased when my children don't live a life of faith. So I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge us on this youth Sunday to live a life of faith. A life of faith. You say, why did you pick Abraham, Brother David? Out of all the characters in Hebrews chapter number 11, the great hall of faith, the heroes of faith. You say, what made you choose Abraham? Well, I was thinking about Abraham, and you know, Abraham is called the father of the faithful. Many of us know Abraham as the father of the faithful. Galatians chapter 3 verse 7 says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Romans chapter number 4 verse 11 talks about the children of Abraham are the children of faith. Romans chapter 4 verse 20 says that Abraham, speaking of Abraham, says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham was a man of faith. And so I want us to look at a part of Abraham's life that I believe the Bible's teaching here. As I said, there's so much we could look at in Abraham's life. This man lived a life of faith. I want us to look at a couple aspects of his life and see how we can learn some things about us living a life of faith. A life of faith. So number one, I want us to see this. I want us to see the call of faith. Look in verse number 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called. You see that? It says, Abraham, when he was called. You see, there is a call of faith. If you would, I want you to hold your place here and go to Genesis chapter number 12. Go to Genesis chapter 12, and I believe this is the event that the Holy Spirit of God is speaking of in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8 when it says, by faith, Abram, when he was called of God. He's talking about here in Genesis chapter 12, actually Genesis chapter number 11, we'll see here in just a second. But the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 12 and verse number 1, it says, now the Lord had said unto Abram. The Lord had said unto Abram. That's past tense. God had spoken to Abram. I think we find that down in Genesis chapter number 11, when we see that it says, "Now these are the generations," verse 27, "of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran begot Lot, and Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity, in the Ur of the Chaldees, and Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren, she had no child," and it says, "and Terah took Abram and his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from the Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there." And the Bible says, "And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran." Now, there's a lot of teaching here, and I can't get into all of it this morning. But then chapter 12, verse 1 says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country." So we look back into Genesis chapter number 11 here to see when Abram was in his country, God called him, right? And so that is the call of faith. And I want to speak this morning on a life of faith. And can I tell you, a life of faith starts with a call of faith? It starts with a call of faith. You know, I'm convinced there's some people trying to live a life of faith, but they've never answered the call of faith. Can I ask you this morning, young person, Have you answered the call of faith? You say, "What is that call, Brother David? That call of faith, what is it?" It is a call to salvation. Now, I think that we can see here in Genesis chapter 11, we could go down through it. Our pastors preached it in years past, how that Abram was in the Ur of the Chaldees. If you look up that word Ur, that word means the place of the flame, the place of fire. The Chaldeans were pagan god worshipers. They were astrologers. They worshipped false gods, the gods of the heavens. They did not worship the true and living God. And you see, Abram was living down in the Ur of the Chaldees, and God called him. And God said, "Abram, I want you to come out of the place of fire. I want you to come out of the place of the flame. I want you to come out of the place of destruction. I want you to come out of the place of false gods. I've got something I want you to do." And you see, Abram obeyed God, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11. He answered the call of salvation. If you look, if you read on in verses chapter 11, I read how that it says that they went into the land of Canaan and they came to Haran. That word Haran there means the dead end. It means death. It means the end of the road. You see, Abram was in the place of the flame and the fire. He was in the place of destruction. He was on a dead end road, and God called him. Does that relate to anybody here today? I don't know about you, but I can tell you this. This past week, as we heard preaching, as Brother Moore stood up, I believe it was last Sunday morning, and was talking about salvation and how that God saves sinners, I was just thinking back about how that there was a time in my life that I was in a place of destruction. I was on my way to a devil's hell. I was headed for the flame. I was on a dead-end road. But thank God, God called me, and I answered that call, and I got saved. You see, you say, "Did Abram get saved right here, Brother David?" I don't know. There's some controversy. Over in Genesis chapter number 15, we see where the Bible says that Abram believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But I know this. I know without a shadow of a doubt, Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 11 is teaching us that there is a type of salvation here. There is a picture of a sinner that is lost and on their way to a devil's hell. They're on a dead-end road, but God calls, and Terah, the old man, dies, and they get up, and they're new creature in Christ Jesus, headed for the promised land. And that's what happens. That's the call of faith. Have you answered the call of faith? It's so important. It's so important. I've got so much I want to preach this morning, and I don't want to belabor this point, but I am really concerned that there's people trying to live a life of faith that have never answered the call of faith. They wonder, "Why can I not live this life of faith that is spoken of?" It's because they've never answered the call of faith. Have you ever seen yourself on a dead-end road? Have you ever seen yourself headed for the flame, headed for the fire, I mean headed for destruction, and you heard the voice of God? You see, the Bible says the Lord had said unto Abram in verse number 1. It says the Lord had said. That means God spoke to Abram. He heard the word of God and he responded. Has there ever been a time in your life where the Holy Spirit of God used the word of God and it spoke to your heart and showed you that you were lost and on your way to a devil's hell, and you responded to that word word and got saved. You see, the call of faith is a call of salvation. I'm so thankful. I never want to get over the day that I heard the word. You know, I'd heard it many times before. There's not a doubt in my mind. I don't think there's one person in here this morning that's never heard the word of God. Oh, we've all heard it with our head, with our ears, but I'm thankful for the day in my life I heard it with my heart. I mean, the day where God turned the light on, the word of God, that seed that being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. When that word got into my heart and it produced the fruit and it gave me faith, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I heard the word of God and I got saved. I thank God for that day. You see, the call of faith is a call of salvation. Have you answered the call? But not only is it a call of salvation, I believe the call of faith is also a call of separation. In Hebrews chapter 11, you don't have to turn back there, but in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out. You see, the call of faith is not only a call of salvation, but the call of faith is a call of separation. God said, Abram, I want you to go out. We're looking in Genesis chapter 12. Look at what it says in Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis 12 says that, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. He said, Abram, I want you, not only is this a call of salvation, but Abram, this is a call of separation. Abraham, I want you to get up and I want you to go out. I want you to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. See, that is the call of faith. The call of faith is deeper than a call of salvation. See, there's a lot of churches in our day. They're preaching this salvation message. They're preaching this grace of God message, but they're leaving out what the grace of God does. The grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. You see, the call of faith is not only a call of salvation, but it is a call of separation. Abraham was called to salvation, but he was called to separation. Not only that, he was called to service. If you'll read down through Genesis chapter number 12 and you'll read through the rest of this chapter, you'll see that there's no question that God had something for Abraham to do. I'm not going to get into the names of these places that he went, Shechem, Sichem, and Moab, but they're very important names of these places. They mean the place of strengthening, the place of instruction. And God was leading Abraham along the way because he had a work for Abraham to do. The Bible says that Abram, in verse number 7, it says, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Abram went to work. He built an altar. So we see the call of faith is a call of salvation. The call of faith is a call of separation. But not only that, the call of faith is a call of service. God has something he wants us to do. Can I tell you, if God's called you today, and if you're here, I know God's called you because God is calling. God is always calling. And can I tell you, that call that God's got is a call of salvation. It's a call of separation. It is a call of service. God wants us to live for him. That's the call of faith. But not only do I see here the call of faith, I want us to see a couple other things. I also see the conduct of faith. The conduct of faith. You see, Abram answered the call of faith, but it didn't stop there. You see, we can see here from Abraham's life the conduct of faith, how it affected him. Look at what it says in verse number 11. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. I didn't mean verse 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll go back to Genesis 12, so please hold your place there. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. See what Abram done? He obeyed. I see here the conduct of faith. So we're talking about the life of faith. We see the call of faith. Now we're looking at the conduct of faith. The conduct of faith is this. It is a submissiveness. Abraham obeyed God. He submitted to the voice of God. God said, Abram, I want you to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance. And the Bible says this, it says he obeyed. That means he submitted. He did what God said do. You want to live a life of faith this morning? Do you want to live a life that pleases God? If we're going to live a life of faith, a life that pleases God, we have got to learn what it is to submit. Not my will, but thy will, oh Lord. See, Abram, I'm sure Abraham had a will for his life. I'm sure Abraham had something that he wanted to do with his life. I'm sure Abraham had plans for his life. But you know what happened? God called. God called and he spoke to Abraham. And you know what Abraham did? He submitted. He said, God, I'll do what you want me to do. Abraham obeyed the voice of God. You know, this life of faith, we make it real complicated, but it's not. This life of faith is not near as complicated as we like to make it. You know what the life of faith is? It's hearing and obeying God, believing God. And acting. See, we say we believe, but James said, hey, you say that you have faith. Show me your faith by your works. He said, you want to say, you say you have faith. He said, a man may say he has faith. He said, but I'll show you your faith by what you do. Your works show what you believe. And Abraham was backing up his faith, not only by the call of his faith, but with the conduct of his faith. He submitted to the voice of God. So we see the submissiveness of Abraham. That's the conduct of his faith. Not only that was he submissive, but he was spiritual. Look at verse number 9. It says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. See, Abraham was spiritual. You say, how does that sojourning mean spiritual, Brother David? I looked that word sojourned up. You know what that means? That means that Abraham was temporarily living there long term, right? He was sojourning. He wasn't driving his stakes too deep. Let me give you a New Testament version of what Abraham was doing. In Colossians, it says this. It says, set your affection on things above and not on things on this earth. You see, Abraham was sojourning in the land of promise. Abraham wasn't driving his stakes too deep. No, Abraham knew that he was just a pilgrim and a stranger. Abraham knew that he was just passing through. Abraham knew that this world wasn't all that there was, and he was living for the things above and not the things on this earth. You see, that's the conduct of a life of faith. We have the call of life of faith, but we have the conduct of faith. It's a life of submissiveness, listening to God, following God. It's a life that is spiritual. It's a life that's not living for the here and now. It's a life that's not trying to build a kingdom on this earth, but trying to build a kingdom in heaven. It's a life that's storing up treasures beyond. That is a life of faith. It is a spiritual life. Say, I want to live a life of faith, Brother David. We're going to have to be submissive to God. We're going to have to be spiritual. We're going to have to get our eyes off of this world and get our eyes on the world to come. That's the life of faith. It's a life of submissiveness. It's a life that is spiritual. Not only that, it is a life that is steadfast. Look in verse number 10. It says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That word looked right there means he was patiently waiting. He was looking forward to, willing to stay at it. You see, Abraham had no plans on quitting. Hear me this morning. Hey, this life of faith is a serious thing. And if we're going to live a life of faith, a life that pleases God, hey, it's going to take being submissive to the will of God, submissive to the word of God. It's going to take living a spiritual life, not living for now, but living for the future. It's going to take being steadfast, looking beyond right now and not wanting to quit. You see, Abraham looked for a city and a foundation. Look at it, what it says again. It says in verse number 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was looking ahead. He didn't plan on quitting.
He was sojourning in the land, but he realized that this was just temporary, that he had a home on the other side, and he planned on staying until he got there. He wasn't going to quit. You see, the life of faith, the conduct of a life of faith is submissiveness. It's spirituality. It's steadfastness. That's the life of faith. So we see the calling of his faith. Number two, we see the conduct of his faith. Number three, I want you to see this. The conflict of his faith. You know, the life of faith is not always an easy life. Hopefully I'm going to gain some of you here. You know the devil doesn't want you to please him, right, young people? You understand that, don't you? But can I tell you, adults, the devil doesn't want your life to please God either. That's why there's a wooing in here this morning, because God knows, the devil knows that God wants to speak to somebody's heart this morning about living a life of faith, and the devil's not going to just give up ground. Can I tell you, if we are going to live a life that pleases God, we're going to have to live a life of faith. We're going to have to answer the call of faith, the call of salvation, the call of separation, the call of service. We're going to have to live in a way of a person that's living a life of faith. Our conduct is going to have to go along with the words that we say. We can't say we have faith. We've got to show we have faith, and that's by submitting to the Word of God, living a spiritual life, being steadfast, not quitting when things don't go our way, when things aren't the way we expect that they should be. No, that's not a life of faith. A life of faith is, I'm not going to quit. I'm looking ahead. But can I tell you, there's going to be conflicts in this life of faith. I'm not going to get up here and tell you, oh, it's just going to be smooth sailing, especially you young people that are here this morning. Hey, Brother David's not going to tell you the life of faith is going to be a bed of roses. It's going to be smooth sailing. No, there's going to be some conflicts in the life of faith. You know, I'm going to tell you, this is where we're going to really hit where the rubber's going to meet the road here. You know why some people won't live a life of faith? And it's not just young people, it's adults too. It's because of what I'm about to start saying here. There's some people that will not live a life of faith because the life of faith is a life of conflict. Abram went through one conflict after another. You know, the first conflict I believe Abraham come against was this. He was different. We're about to get down to earth right here. Why won't people serve God? Why won't young people live a life of faith? Why don't we have some young men and some young ladies in our youth ministry that really want to live a life of faith? I'll tell you why. Because if you're going to live a life of faith, you're going to have to be different. Abram was called to go out from his land, from his country, to go into a place where he didn't speak the same language those people spoke. He didn't dress the way those people dressed. He didn't look the way those people looked. You see, Abram was a stranger and a pilgrim in a foreign land. Can I tell you, if we live for God in 2019, if we live a life of faith, we are going to be different. We're not going to talk the way this world talks. We're not going to dress the way this world dresses. We're not going to act the way this world acts. We're not going to get our pleasures the way the world gets its pleasures. Look at it in Genesis chapter 12. Look at what God tells Abram. He says, Abram, I want you to go out to a place. Let's get here. Genesis chapter 12. He says, I want you to go out to a place, Abram. And look what he says. He said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. He says, Abram, I'm sending you to a place where you're going to be different than everybody else. No doubt when Abram went there, he didn't speak the language those people spoke. He didn't wear the clothes. You understand? You with me here? Hey, if I go to a foreign country, I'm going to look a little different than they look. I've been to a foreign country. Brother David got up this morning and talked about going to a foreign country. Those of you that were in South Africa last year, you dressed a little different than they dressed. You had a little bit of a different accent than they spoke with. Even if you spoke the same language, you spoke it a different way. For many of them, you worshiped a different God than they worshiped. You enjoyed different things than they enjoy. They like football, a black and white football, and South Africa. We like a brown football in America, right? It's different. He said, Abram, you're going to a place where you're going to be different. That's why some people won't live this life of faith. I'm convinced, Brother Calvin, that's why some young people won't live for God in 2019, because if they do, they're going to be different. Can I tell you, different is a good thing. Would to God some of you young people would decide on this Youth Sunday of 2019, I am willing to be different. I want to live a life of faith, and I'm okay with being different. Abraham was different. You see, the conflict of faith. You're going to be different. He was in a strange country. He wasn't like everyone else. He talked different. He dressed different. He lived different. Not only that, can I tell you this? There's not just the conflict of being different. There's a conflict of differentiation. Can you imagine? Put yourself in Abraham's shoes for a minute. Can you imagine when Abraham told his family, God called me, and I'm leaving Chaldea, and I'm going to a place called Canaan. Can you imagine what Abraham's family and friends might have said to him? What? You're doing what, Abraham? You're such a smart guy, Abraham. I thought you were going to go to college. Abraham, I thought you were going to be the next superstar athlete. Abraham, what do you mean you're leaving the Ur of the Chaldees and going to this place? You don't even know where you're going. What are you talking about, Abraham? Have you lost your mind, Abraham? There are going to be people, if we live a life of faith, that are going to disassociate from us. They're just going to separate. God actually told Abraham, I want you to separate from those people. I want you to get up. I want you to leave your kindred. I want you to leave your friends. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave all those things, Abraham, and I want you to follow me. You're going to have to disassociate yourself from some of the things in your life, Abraham. You see, a life of faith has some conflict to it, and I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do, but some of you young men, hey, if you're going to live for God, you're going to have to disassociate yourself from some people. It may be your friends at school. It may be somebody on your sports team. It may even be a family member. God told Abraham, I want you to get up and leave your kindred. There's going to be family members that we have to disassociate with if we're going to live a life of faith. Are you with me this morning? Hey, when I got saved by the good grace of God, I'm glad some people told me, hey, David, if you want to really stay in this thing for a long time, if you really want your life to count for Jesus, if you really want to make a difference, you're going to have to get away from some of them old friends. You're going to have to get away from some of that family that's holding you back. You're going to have to disassociate yourself with some of that stuff that you used to do, because if you don't, it's going to get you. It's a conflict. I understand that. It's not easy to tell somebody you love, hey, No, I can't come to the birthday party. We okay? That's where we at. I can't come to the graduation. I'm sorry, they're going to be drinking there. And I don't want to be a part of it. You say, well, you go to restaurants and drink. Yeah, but I don't sit at the bar with them. You say, Brother David, I'm not going to be able to come to the, I'll come to the wedding, I'll watch you get married, but I'm not coming to the reception. That's not easy. It's not easy. I love you, but guess what? I can't come to the birthday party if it's on Sunday. The family reunion. Right? It's a family reunion going on this Sunday, David. You coming? I can't. I can't come. Why can't you come, Brother David? Because I'm trying to live a life of faith. I'm trying to follow God. And I understand this life of faith ain't an easy life. It's not easy to tell people you love. I can't do it. I love you, but I can't do it. I've had to tell my mom some hard things when I first got saved. I was living with my brother when I got saved, and I had to tell him some hard things. Brother, I'm going to have to move out. Why? Because I'm trying to live a life of faith. And I can't stay here and live a life of faith. See, Abraham had to disassociate himself. That's the conflict of the faith. God said, Abraham, you're going to have to get up. You're going to have to leave your family. You're going to have to leave some things that are comfortable to you. He said, Abraham, you're going to have to dissociate. Not only that, there's going to be disapproval. The conflict of faith, I kind of already hit on this. Not only is there a disassociation where that Abraham had to leave his family and his friends and the fun that he had in his life, he had to get away from some of those things, right? His fun changed, his family changed, his friends changed. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. But you see, he had to disassociate. But not only that, hey, there was a disapproval. Not everybody's going to be happy when you live by faith. Hear me, young people. Listen to me. You go home and you tell mom and dad, you know what? I think God's calling me into ministry. Don't be surprised if they don't pat you on the back and say, praise God. It's not always going to happen that way. Now I hope they do. Would to God if one of my kids come home telling me, Daddy, God's called me to preach. I'm going to do everything I can, or if it's my son. And I'm going to do everything I can to encourage it, right? I already know God called my daughter to preach. I listen to it all the time, amen. She got that from her mama, amen. She's a great preacher. Ask Brother Allen, amen. But that's a joke. Meredith got to speak at a youth conference we went to way before I did. Brother Allen said, I'm just traveling with my wife. I'm just along for the journey, amen. But anyway, I don't even know what I'm talking about now. Disapproval. They're not always going to approve if you want to serve God. I'm serious. If you say, Mom, I want to quit the sports team, I'm getting real now. You're going to serve God. You're going to live a life of faith. Some of you might have to give up that soccer, that football, that baseball, that basketball that's going to take you nowhere. It's just going to hold you back from living for God. And can I tell you, Mama might not be happy about it. Daddy might not be happy about it. There's some people in your life that might not be happy about it. Hey, but if God tells you to do it, hey, that's all that matters. That's a life of faith, and that's what pleases God. Now, I'm not saying you ought to disobey your parents. Don't you misunderstand what I'm saying at all. But what I'm telling you is, hey, if you're going to live a life of faith, not everybody's going to approve of it. Not everybody's going to pat you on the back. Not everybody's going to say, well, that's a good job. I'm glad you quit secular college and went to Christian college. I'm glad that you quit that job that you had because it was keeping you out of church and took a job where you didn't make as much money. Not everybody's going to pat you on the back and say, I'm glad that God's called you into the ministry. It's just not going to happen. There's going to be a disapproval. I'm sure Abraham faced some of this. I just know that when Abraham told his family, I'm leaving and I'm going to another land, I'm just sure there's some people that were just not approving of it. They said, Abraham, have you lost your mind? What are you doing with your life? You've got so much potential, Abraham. There's going to be people that are going to disapprove. Not only that, can I tell you, a life of faith, there's going to be discomfort. Look, and go back to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm bringing this to a close here. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 9 says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Can I tell you, life of faith ain't always going to be comfortable. So how do you get that out of this verse, Brother David? Well, first off, he's living in a tabernacle. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm not interested in living in a tent. I'm just saying. I know some of y'all enjoy it, but hey, I'll do it for a night or two, but goodness gracious. Give me a hotel room. Air condition. Amen. A soft bed. Somebody's like, yeah, right there right now. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, it's not always going to be comfortable. This life of faith is not always going to be comfortable. Abraham's dwelling in a tent. Not only is he dwelling in a tent, but he's got Isaac and Jacob with him. So what's that? That's his kids. That's not the most comfortable thing. Now, I'm not interested in staying in a tent, you know, just me and my wife, but I sure don't want my kids staying in there with me, amen. Goodness gracious. This building right here is not about big enough for all of us in one room, right? But I'm talking about this man's living a life of discomfort. Can I tell you, hey, the life of faith is not always going to be a comfortable life. Abraham's dwelling in tents. He's sojourning in a strange land. Everything about verse 9 says discomfort. He's in a place, he's outside of his comfort zone. He's in a place where he's a stranger. He's in a place where he can't speak their language. He's in a place where he doesn't know many people. He's in a place where he's sleeping in a tent. He's in a place where his family is and they're all right there together. I mean, this life of faith sometimes is not going to always be comfortable. I'm afraid in 2019 in Christianity, and I'm saying we, I'm guilty of it too. I'm afraid sometimes we're more concerned about comfort, right, than we are about Christ. If we're going to serve God, we're going to have to do some uncomfortable things. We have to talk to people that we may not feel comfortable talking to. We'll have to knock on the door when we don't feel like knocking on the door. We're going to have to get up and go to church when we don't feel like getting up and going to church. We're going to have to read our Bible when our flesh doesn't feel like reading the Bible. We're going to have to get up early before we leave for work so we can spend some time with God in prayer and in His Word, even when we don't feel like getting up and doing that. Why? Because, you know, this Christian life isn't all about comfort. Abraham understood, hey, you know what? If I'm going to live a life of faith, there's going to be some discomfort, but I'm okay with it. If that's what God wants me to do, I may not make as much money as the next man. I may not have a big house as everybody else has got. Now you may, Abraham had a big house. But I'm just saying, hey, this Christian life isn't all about comfort. The conflict of the faith, there was discomfort. Not only that was there discomfort, I'll finish with this. There was difficulties. There's just flat out difficulties in the Christian life. You know, we could go through the life of Abraham, and I said, I don't have time this morning. Look, go to Genesis 12 real quick. You got, hopefully you got it marked in your place there. Look at Genesis 12. Look at verse number 10. I mean, right after he gets in the land. I don't know how long we go from Genesis 12:1 to Genesis 12:10, but look, I mean, it couldn't have been long. Look at what it says in verse number 10. And there was a famine in the land. Abram's following God. Let's not forget, Abraham's following God. Abraham is living for God. But yet a famine came. This Christian life, the life of faith, is not always smooth sailing. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. You realize this if you've been living at any time. There's going to be famines. There's going to be fights. If you read on through Genesis about Abraham's life, I mean, he goes through a famine. There's times where he's fighting. I mean, Lot leaves and gets taken away down in Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham takes his servants, and they go and fight, and they get Lot and the stuff back. I'm telling you, hey, there's going to be fights. There's going to be famines. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be difficult times in the life of faith. I mean, I couldn't even get over into in Hebrews chapter 11. It talks about Abraham offering up his son Isaac. You're talking about something difficult to do. God says, Abraham, I want you to take thy son, thine only son, the son that you love, I want you to take him up on a mountain and I want you to sacrifice him there. You think that was an easy thing for Abraham to do? No, but Abraham believed God through the difficulties, through the hardships, through the disapproval, through the discomfort, through being different, through all these things. Abraham believed God. He lived a life of faith. So we see, number one, the call of faith. Number two, the conduct of faith. Number three, the conflict of faith. And then last, we see the compensation of faith. The compensation of faith. I think one of the things that kept Abraham going through all that we just talked about and much more, I haven't even touched it this morning. I feel like I've done so little at getting you to understand what Abraham actually went through. But in the midst of all that, you understand, Abraham had some promises. He had some promises. The first thing he had was the promise of God's favor. Look at verse 8, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. God said, Abraham, I have a promise for you. We find that promise in Genesis 12. If you still got your place marked there, he says in verse number 1, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. God says, Abraham, if you follow me, Abraham, if you live a life of faith, I promise you, Abraham, you're going to have favor. Now hear me, y'all. I'm done. I mean it. This is my last point. Can I tell you, hey, don't let the devil lie for 1 minute. He doesn't have anything to offer you. Especially you young people. It's you Sunday. Can you please listen to me? Hey, the devil has nothing to offer you. But you know what God has to offer? God says, if you'll follow me, if you'll live for me, if you'll live a life of faith, I promise you that I will bless you. I will show my favor to you. That's what he told Abraham. He said, I will bless thee and I will make thy name great. God says, Abraham, I have a blessing for you. I will show you my favor. I think about how that God has showed his favor to me since I got saved. God, can I tell you this morning, hey, God has been exceedingly abundantly better to me than I could ask or think. I never realized how good it actually could be. I'm talking about since the day I trusted Christ as my Savior, God has been good to me. The way has been good, and I have been blessed. I don't know about you, but I'm talking about for the last 14 years of my life, God has been pouring his favor out on me, Brother Calvin. I mean, it's been good. The way of the transgressor is hard, but God says, hey, come unto me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Can I tell you this morning, hey, God has showed me his favor. God has blessed me. God has given me so much since I started following him. And God promises he'll do it for you too. You young people, you want a good life? Live a life of faith. God promises you he'll show you favor. He's going to take care of you. You say, how do you know, Brother David? Because the song said it. But not because the song said it, because the Bible says it. The song said, I've been through enough to know he's going to be enough for me. Amen. Some of you have been through a lot more than I have, and I bet you could get up here this morning and say, can I tell you, the way has been long, but I've been blessed. God has showed his favor to me. We see the promise of favor. Not only that, we see the promise of a family. Look in Genesis 12. You're there. Genesis 12. He said, I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee. You know what God says to Abraham? He says, Abraham, not only will I bless you, not only do I promise you if you live a life of faith that I'll give you favor, but he says, Abraham, I'll give you a family. I'll give you friends. I'll make of you a great nation. In Hebrews chapter 11, he told him, he said that he had an inheritance. It says in verse number 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. God said, Abraham, if you'll live a life of faith, I promise I will give you favor and I will give you a family. Can I tell you, hey, I thought I had some family and some friends before I got saved. I'm talking about before I got saved. I don't know about you, but before I got saved, man, I thought my friends and my family, I thought we were close. I thought I had a big circle of people that I ran with. But can I tell you, since I got saved, wow, what a family it is to be a part of the family of God. I went to Honduras a couple years ago, and you know what I did? I saw some family. Brother David was talking this morning, went to South Africa. Brother David, I bet you got off the plane, and as soon as you met them, they felt like family, didn't they? Brother, sister, family. Family all over this world today. Do you know we've got family? There's family in China right now. There's family in Africa and Russia and Australia and England and South America and all across this great country we live in. Hey, there's family everywhere we go. Since we've been put into the family of God, we have a great family. God said, Abraham, if you'll live a life of faith, I'll bless you. I promise you, I'll give you favor and I'll give you a great family. And I just want to attest this morning. I want to go on record saying, hey, I'm a part of the greatest family in heaven and earth, and that is the family of God. We're going on vacation next week. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go to another place, and we're going to be in church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. You know what we're going to do? We're going to fellowship with some family. Family. Never even met them before, but they're family. Why? Because they're a part of the family of God. It's a great family to be a part of. God said, Abraham, I'll bless you. You live a life of faith, I'll give you a good family. Everybody wants a good family. Everybody wants a lot of friends. God says, Abraham, you bless me, I'll give you a great family. I'll give you a lot of friends. I'll show my favor. I mean, I'll be good to you, Abraham. Not only that, you know what he said? He said, Abraham, I promise you, if you'll do that, he has a promise of forgiveness. Look in Genesis 12, I got one more point. Genesis 12, look at what he says in verse number 3. He says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You say, what does he mean by that, Brother David? I wrote it down so that I could prove it from the New Testament. You know what God is saying to Abraham? He's saying, Abraham, if you'll live a life of faith, I not only promise you that I'll give you favor, I not only promise you that I'll give you a good family, but Abraham, I promise you, I will give you forgiveness. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, it says this, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. He said, Abraham, through you, I'm going to preach faith to the heathens. I'm going to give them forgiveness. Abraham, if you'll live a life of faith, I promise you, you can have forgiveness. Sometimes, you know, that's just, that in itself ought to make us shout a little bit. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise of God. We'll live by faith. And then last, he says, I promise you a future. He says, I promise you a future. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. That's where we'll close. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at these words here he uses. He says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And then he says this, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Do you see the future? A promise. Heirs. Inheritance. God saying, Abraham, if you'll live a life of faith, I promise I'm going to give you a good future. The life of faith. God promises us a good future if we'll live the life of faith. I mean, we're going to heaven when we die, brother. God says, I'm not only going to bless you here, Abraham. I'm not only going to give you my favor here on this earth, Abraham. I'm not only going to give you a big family and friends, Abraham. I'm not only going to give you forgiveness, Abraham. But I'll tell you what, Abraham, it gets better than that. I am going to give you a great future, Abraham. You can spend an eternity with me. What a great future. You know what it all hinges on? Living a life of faith. I don't know about you, but I can tell you this. I want to live a life of faith. Amen. I want to live a life of faith. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness. And God, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would take your word this morning. Speak to hearts, God. Do what I cannot do. God, I cannot speak to hearts, but you can. Lord, I pray that you would. Lord, please deal, move, speak. God, have your way in this invitation. God, if there's some young person here today, God, they're struggling. God, I pray today they would realize there's no better life than the life of faith. God, if there's anyone in this building this morning that is not saved, God, they've never answered the call. God, today I pray that would be the first day of a new life, a life of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. You can stand to your feet and bow your heads, and I'm going to turn it over to the pastor.